first thing they say is, I've got my own religion. I've got my own way to worship the Lord. But let's just read this verse, Exodus 33:7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar on from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. I'd like to ask Brother Grissom just to pray his blessing on this thought this morning.
God, we're grateful to you for your presence in this house. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish here today. I pray that you guide the thoughts and the words of Brother Guidry as he preaches to us today. And I pray that you open our heart and our spirit to receive all that you have to give. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. We look at this verse, we can get several things from this verse. And the first one is that God is not far from any of us. He's there. We read the preceding verses and we see that while Moses had gone up to the mountaintop, the people wanted something that they could see. They wanted something visible that they could worship. They went to Aaron, they said, make us gods that shall go before us. They broke off their earrings, they fashioned a golden calf. They said, these are the gods that have brought us up out of the land of Egypt. They didn't really mean to worship the calf, because they said they proclaimed a feast to the Lord. It was just their way of worshiping the Lord. But you see, our ways aren't good enough. If we want to live for the Lord, if we want to serve Him, if we want to be blessed by the Lord, if we want to be anointed by the Lord, we need to make sure that we're doing things the Lord's way, according to His example, according to what He has done for us, according to His regulations, His word, and His things that He has given to us. We need to make sure that we serve the Lord, that we live for the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with everything that's in us, but not our way, according to His way. There was a song years ago, it was before my time, maybe some of you remember it. Somebody sang the song, I did it my way. But that doesn't work with the Lord. He gives us His way of doing things. And the interesting thing, the Lord was angered, and so that He would not dwell in the midst of them. At that time, they put the tent in the center. Everybody had their tent surrounded. The Lord was right there in the middle. The Lord in His anger moved away, far away. But yet the same verse contradicts itself, because it said that anybody who wanted to go and worship, it was just right there. You see, He moved away, but He didn't go too far. He's always there. He's always near to us. He's always close to us. You see, we're all, no matter what we are, saints or sinners, we're all human. We all have our faults. We all have our failures. We all have our discouragements. We all have those moments. But it doesn't matter what we are. The Lord is not far away. He is there beside us. Justice was about to take away from the people the presence of God, but mercy stopped its march. It's as though mercy seemed to say, though God cannot abide in the midst of the people, yet He will not go very far from them. He stayed on the hillside, and there the tabernacle was pitched, far off from the people, but yet not so far that they could not go know that God was there. Not so far that the ones who wanted to seek after Him, they could reach His presence at an easy distance. In Acts it tells us that the Lord has set the bounds of our life and our place, that if we want to feel after Him and find Him, He is not very far from any of us. He is here for us today. He is watching over us today. Saint and sinner alike, we all have our moments. We all have our failures. We all have our faults. But the Lord is right here beside us. He has loved us, Jeremiah said, with an eternal love. He is there. He is for us. And He is with us. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is there for us. If you want to feel the presence of the Lord, sometimes you just have to forget about what you feel on the inside and just lift up your eyes by faith to the hills from which cometh our help and just begin to love and worship and praise that name of Jesus. There is no other name. He is close as the mention of His name. He is here beside us. He is with us. Then we read this verse and another thing comes to light. It's talking about the tabernacle. This is Exodus chapter 6. It's talking about the tabernacle. But God didn't give His plan for the tabernacle until the last verses or the last chapters of Exodus. So this tabernacle was the one that they had made. It was a man-made thing. They got their ideas together and they decided this is the way we're going to worship the Lord. But later on, God gave His way. Our way, no matter how sincere, it's just not good enough. Up until this time, it was probably just a tent in the center of the camp. It was a place that they would go and they would worship and they would praise Him. Maybe they had it since the time of Abraham and Isaac. Maybe they brought it with them out of the land of Egypt. But there was no Ark of the Covenant inside. There might not have even been an altar. There was no table of showbread. There wasn't the brass candle, the golden candlestick that was there. Everything that was in that place, as sincere as it wasn't God's plan yet. It was what men had made. And later on we can read where the Lord had gave them the instructions. Later on we can read where the Lord brought Moses up to the mountaintop, showed him a model of what the Lord wanted, gave him the instructions, talked about the skins, and the planks and the borders and the nails and everything that would go with it, all of the millions of dollars of gold that would go with it. Sometimes people don't understand how we love the Lord. Sometimes they don't understand how we love to come and worship Him and be in His presence. And whenever Israel walked through the wilderness for those 40 years with the tabernacle of God, all of their enemies on the hillsides round about could see that old ugly tent. They could see the old skins on the outside, weathered and sun-beaten and wind-beaten and dust-beaten and the blowing sands of the desert. And they saw all of Israel encamped around it, a camp that was probably 25 square miles, 6 million people. They saw all of that. And all of the enemies looking down on the hillside thought, what is so exciting about an old ugly tent? Because on the outside it was ugly. But Israel knew that on the inside there were millions of dollars of gold that was there. They knew that on the inside was the beautiful tapestry, the beautiful coverings that God had made. You see, their tent that they brought out of Egypt, it didn't have that. It was the best that man could do. But later on, the Lord gave them His plan and His instructions. And then the Lord began to give them the glorious splendor of Aaron and the priesthood and all of the offerings and sacrifices that didn't exist, because God's ways are different. Isaiah said His ways are not as our ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. We can do it our way if we want to, but we need to do things the Lord's way and live for Him and serve Him. Human invention was not enough. The time came when the Lord gave Him His way, saying, I've got my own religion. I've got my own way of worshiping the Lord. Is not good enough. We need to follow His salvation and His plan. God told Noah to make the ark. God told him, go for wood, covered with the tar on the inside and on the outside. And Noah wasn't the first one to build a ship. Noah wasn't the first one to ever build a boat. Then probably when the flood came, there were many boats already in existence in the world. But the only one that could last throughout the storm was the one that was built according to God's plan. The only one that lasted through the storm was the one that was according to God's plan. Yeah, there's all kinds of religions in the world today, but I want to be the one, or part of the one, that is built according to God's plan. The one that's built according to God's plan. So many times talking to people, witnessing to people, you knock on their door and they answer, they say, I've got my own religion. Well, maybe the established denominations of this world didn't fit their needs. Or maybe for them it was just an excuse not to commit, but I want what the Lord has for me. I want His ways for me. I want what the Lord has. I remember so long ago when I was 17 years old, I would go to so many different churches, and I would read the Bible, and I would say, Lord, I don't want to know what people are teaching. Lord, would you show me what your word says? I want what the Lord has. Adam and Eve, they were conscious of their sins, and they tried to find a remedy. They made their clothing out of fig leaves, but it wasn't good enough. God came along, took the animal, and made them a covering with the animal. See, our ways just aren't good enough. Human inventions and human plans and human ways aren't good enough. Adam and Eve, they did the best they could. They got the leaves, and I'm sure they picked the biggest, the greenest. We're going to cover ourselves up. But it wasn't good enough. Because when God slew that animal, there was the blood. Almost all things by the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Abel came and offered up the first of his flocks. He picked the best that he had. Cain came along and he offered up the best of the fruits of the earth. Each one of them came and they gave the best that they had. But only one of them had the blood. Only one of the sons was paying attention way back when mom and dad told the stories about the garden. The leaves weren't good enough, but there was a shedding of blood that came one day. We can do all of our things that we want to do, but we need to make sure that we've got the blood of Jesus on our lives. We need to make sure that we're following God's plans in our lives. We can read in Leviticus, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they came, they offered up fire on the altar. But the Bible says it wasn't the Lord's fire. It was a strange fire. We need to do things the Lord's way. God said, when I go through the Egypt tonight at the midnight hour, I'll look for the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He wasn't looking for the Israelite. He wasn't looking for which one was the Egyptian. He wasn't looking for which one was the nicest, which one was the friendliest. He was looking for the blood. We need to make sure we have the blood of Jesus in our lives. We're justified. Isaiah said, by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Only with Jesus. Justification means we're being made with God, made right with God according to His standard of what is right and wrong. I want to have Jesus today. I want to have His words today. I want to follow His teachings today. Sometimes people, they say they have their own religion. Well, maybe what they need to do is upgrade their experience. I remember years ago, sometimes I would want some new computer gadget, and I would explain to my dear wife, I just need to upgrade. You know, I have to get that pre-approval. I need to upgrade. And then she got smart. And she caught on and she decided that sometimes shoes and purses needed to be upgraded. Well, I don't use that excuse anymore. But I remember years ago before I found the Lord, I thought I loved Him. I thought I was serving Him. But I remember when I went to a Pentecostal church. And I upgraded my experience to the real thing. I got away from the man-made thing, and I got the real thing that God gave. I got the real thing. I remember years ago when we first went to Nuevo Laredo, there was a man who came to church, town drunk, alcoholic. Somebody said even God can't help him. Well, God did help him because he's the pastor of the church there today. And his wife was something else. His wife was something else. She would come to church once or twice and she would look at him and make faces at us the whole service. If it went an hour, she was like this for an hour. like as if we were something that she had found underneath a stone. And we would talk to her, and she would promptly explain, "I've got my own religion. I don't want anything to do with your church." My wife went to visit her one day, and that lady, Chata, her name in Spanish in that part of the country means bulldog. Boy, she could make the faces. She looked at my wife. She said, "I've got my own religion, and I don't want anything to do with your church." She pointed to a little shelf in the corner. She said, "These are my gods. But if you want to come to my house and visit me and drink coffee, you can come and you can be my friend. But I don't want anything to do with your church. I've got my own religion." Her husband was in church, faithful. She saw the change that God made in his life. And when we asked her, "Don't you see the change?" You won't believe what she said. "I've got my own religion, and I don't want anything to do with your church." He would come to clean the church before service, and she said, "I will go with you, and I'll help you clean your church." But she would tell her husband, "I want you to know, I've got my own religion, and I don't want anything to do with your religion." There was one time we were going to host a service at our church, and all the churches from the district was going to be there. We had about 10 people in the church at that time, and there were 200 people that were coming to visit. And we were going to make a dinner for them, and I was thinking, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" And Chata looked at me. She said, "Pastor, now I want you to know, I've got my own church, and I don't want anything to do with your church. But I know how to cook for 200 people. I've done it at my place. I will help you to do it." Sister Guidry wanted to make a ladies' service, and she had prayer cloths and handkerchiefs that she wanted to do. And she was talking to Chata. She said, "Oh, it would be nice to have little handkerchiefs for the ladies with lace around it." Chata said, and you'll never believe what she said. You'll never guess what she said. "I've got my own religion, and I don't want anything to do with your church. But I'll make you 200 or 300 handkerchiefs, and I'll sew lace around them." We went to a park service one time. She came. We were singing and playing the keyboard in the park. And I said, people started to come around, and they were watching us. There were other churches there, but nobody was watching them. They were coming to our church service in the park. There's just something different between God's people and other places when people feel the real thing. And I looked up, and there was a bunch of people gathering around, and I said, "Does anybody have tracks?" Nobody had tracks. But guess who had tracks that day? Chata pulled out a handful of tracks from her pocket. When it was time to make clothes for the kids or curtains for the church, "Now, Pastor, I don't want anything to do with your church. I've got my own church, but I'll make clothes for your kids. I'll make curtains for your church. Your church is ugly. I'll make some nice curtains for your church. It looks so lonely and so bare. Let me fix it up for you, Pastor, but I don't want anything to do with it. I've got my own church." And one day, she came to me. She said, "Pastor, I have my own church. I don't want anything to do with your church, but I want to be baptized in Jesus' name." There's just something about Jesus. There's just something about his presence. We can do things the best that we can, but it's going to take Jesus to meet us more than halfway. We can make our best efforts, but he comes and he meets us more than halfway. Isaiah talked about those that take counsel but not of me, and cover themselves with a covering but not of my spirit. We need his spirit in our lives. Jeremiah said, "My people, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." We can do the best that we can to cover ourselves. We can do the best that we can to look for water in this dry and barren lifetime. But Jesus, in the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about his presence, the Holy Ghost. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And that word again, when you look it up in the original language, it doesn't mean born again. What he was saying is you must be born. And instead of that word again, the word is you must be born from above, from a higher place, of things that come from heaven, from God. We've been born in this world, flesh and blood, mankind, but we need to be born of Him. We need to be filled with His Spirit, filled with His presence. They came out of Egypt with some kind of a tabernacle, but God gave them His plan. Something beautiful, something wonderful, filled with gold and the precious things, where they could worship Him in spirit. Our way just isn't good enough. Years ago in Colombia, I don't remember the man's name, but they were having service in the city of Bogota. And after service, there was a man who had come through. He'd sat through the whole service. And the pastor and wife noticed there was a big crowd of people at the door. And what has happened was this visitor began arguing with everybody there at the church. I don't believe in this Jesus name baptism. This Holy Ghost that you're talking about, I don't believe any of that. And he argued with them for about an hour. And finally, people got tired of listening to him. They all began to go home or go to lunch, wherever they went. And they thought, oh, we'll never see this guy again. But the next Sunday, he was there, sat through the whole service. And after service, once again, he argued. And they thought, surely he won't come again. But the next week, he was there for 2 years. He came to church, sat there, disgruntled, unhappy, and always arguing. There is nothing to that baptism in Jesus' name. We don't need that. But one day there was a knock on the pastor's door, and there he was, hat in his hand. Pastor, I'm ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. And the pastor was shocked. For 2 years, you've come to church, you've never made a move, you've argued with us, and all of a sudden, he said, Pastor, I've just found out that I'm a dying man. I'm going to have surgery, and the doctor says I probably won't live through the surgery. He said, I can live without this Jesus name stuff, but I can't die without it. I can live without it. But I can't die without it. But you know, the truth is, if we're going to live a fulfilled and a blessed life, we've got to have it. He was baptized in Jesus' name. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he lived for many years later, witnessing about that name of Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I want to love Him. I want to serve Him. I want to live from every word that comes from His mouth. Can we just stand today and just live for the Lord? Sometimes all of our best efforts, but it's so good that Jesus comes and He meets us more than halfway. All of our best efforts, but He comes and He meets us more than halfway. All of our faults and all of our flaws and all of our failures, saint and sinner alike, He's not far from us. Outside that camp, it was just a short distance. They could go and they could worship Him. Can we just lift up our hands today as Pastor Grissom comes? And let's just love that name of Jesus.